So I'd like to begin then with our panel remarks, and our first speaker is Erica Pond-Clement. Erica is in Ontario. She is a CDMP, and she has a BSc in occupational therapy. Her current position is as a return-to-work specialist at Workplace Safety and Insurance Board in Ontario, and she's involved in several other aspects of the field as well. So welcome, Erica.
Thank you. I guess I'd start by saying I've had the CDMP designation for a long time. And I think you'll find that the designation can certainly open a lot of doors and interesting opportunities for you. I've had the pleasure of working in the field from a variety of different stakeholder perspectives. I'm a registered occupational therapist, and for a while I worked in private practice with a focus in return to work. I've worked as an employer-based provider on an occupational health team, as a consultant providing education and consultation to a variety of stakeholders in workplace mental health. And most recently, I've worked from the insurer perspective, both as a case manager and mental health specialist with Manulife, which is a large disability insurance company. And now I work with the Workplace Safety Insurance Board, or WSIB, in Ontario. In my current role, I get to do a lot of different interesting things in the field. I get to interact with a large variety of workplaces and see a lot of different jobs and work with injured persons, employers, unions, and healthcare providers from across my region, across the province. I get to help employers meet their legislated obligations to facilitate a safe and timely return to work. In some cases, that means I work with a well-established system and service within a large organization. And sometimes I'm the person who has experience with the legislation and return to work. And I'm working with a very small employer who maybe has never even had a work-related claim before. I get to support workers to understand their rights and meet their obligations to cooperate with the work reintegration process, which is part of our legislation. And in this role, I've had the privilege to actually work with quite a variety of clients as well. I work with people who are recovering from mental stress injuries, mild traumatic brain injuries, musculoskeletal injuries, and occupational diseases like asthma and allergies. I do my job by sharing knowledge about legislation and return to work best practices with employers, workers, treatment providers, legal and union representatives, by facilitating communication between all of those stakeholders, sharing information about job demands to help inform treatment goals, working with stakeholders to problem solve strategies to facilitate return to work that permits ongoing recovery by identifying accommodations that will help an injured or ill person to safely participate in meaningful work activities, sometimes using additional assessments to help with the process, and by documenting return to work meetings to ensure clarity and transparency of communication with all the stakeholders. And when an injured or ill person is unable to safely return to the pre-injury job or workplace, I'm involved in helping to identify safe and suitable alternate work. And sometimes that involves developing a plan for retraining, either to return to work with the employer where the incident occurred or in the open labor market. I'm going to say one of the benefits of working in the workers' compensation system is that the legislated obligations are clear and consistent. Having worked from some of the other perspective, I've definitely come up against comments like, you know, we don't accommodate for non-occupational conditions, which, you know, always led to the question of how do you meet your duty to accommodate? But there's a lot more weight behind it when I say it as a from the WSIB, because there's legislation that all of our employers understand. It requires that as a return to work specialist, I learn a lot about policy. But it also means I have access to a lot of tools and resources. I would also say, given this is a public service organization with government oversight, it also means there's definitely some bureaucracy. I found that my role as a regulated health professional dovetails beautifully with the CDMP designation for the work that I do, and I do continue to maintain both designations. It might be interesting to know, if any of you are in Ontario or thinking about moving to Ontario, the WSIB has recently changed the requirements for employment as a return to work specialist, such that the CDMP designation or eligibility to obtain the designation is required. My thoughts for you about the insurer role as you enter the field of disability management: I would say there is lots of support and training in this type of workplace. And while I don't love all the policies and processes at times of being such part of such a big and legislated organization, absolutely so much can be learned through the processes that continue to be developed over time. And it lets me focus on problem solving on a case-by-case basis, that's what I love to do. I have definitely observed at both Manulife and WSIB that there's lots of opportunities for people to expand their career experience, and that a foot in the door at any level almost always opens up opportunities for career advancement in the insurance industry. And even if the insurer perspective is not where you choose to stay, if that's where you start out, the knowledge and experience, I would say, is valuable and directly informs your work in any other stakeholder role.
Okay, thanks very much, Erica. Our next speaker is Vicki Naseby. Vicki is a CDMP, and she has a BSc in kinesiology. She started working as a disability case management advisor at the liquor distribution branch in BC. Welcome, Vicki.
Thanks very much. Thank you for the introduction, and thanks very much for inviting me this afternoon or this evening to speak at your career info session. I definitely wish there was something like this, a forum like this available to me when I started my career, someone or a program to guide me at the beginning of my career journey, so I know what I was getting myself into. Don't get me wrong, though. I absolutely enjoy what I do every day. In fact, not a single day in the last 10 years that I feel bored with my job, regardless of the places that I've worked. But to have a career session like this to find out what opportunities are out there and hear people in the field talking about their day-to-day roles would have added a tremendous value to my career search. Would have made me less anxious preparing myself into the workforce. So I started working in the disability management field about 10 years ago. So when I graduated from university with my kinesiology degree, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I did several practicum with a number of employers, but they didn't really give me any insights or guide me to a path where I would want to go. I was thankful for those opportunities, though. And so I ended up working for this nonprofit agency that provides health and safety, best practices, evidence-based advice to our provincial health authorities. So I worked there as a research assistant. So I got my foot in the door learning about employees' health and safety, and I knew that I wanted to continue to work in an area related to health promotion, helping people. I learned a little bit about disability management, but didn't really have a full grasp of what it was really about, nor did I have the experience to qualify for any jobs at that time. But that didn't discourage me. I ended up applying to work for Manulife, Small World, Erica. I also worked at Manulife previously in my past life as a case manager there. So even though I didn't have the 3 years of work experience they were looking for, my transferable skills, you know, such as organizational time management, critical thinking, and, you know, my aptitude to learn had really helped me to get my foot in the door as a case manager there. So that was the beginning of my disability management career. I went through 6 months of rigorous training with a trainer, who taught me basically all the basics of, you know, what case management is really about. I've been really fortunate enough to work for two major provincial employers afterwards. I didn't have 5 years of work experience when I landed my first job as a disability case management employer rep with Vancouver Coastal Health. It was really through networking and connections that I had built during those years that I worked as a research assistant that, you know, helped me. 3 years into my role, I challenged the CDMP exam. And once I have accumulated my actual work experience in disability management, I then apply to the liquor branch, which has gotten me where I am now. So I have disability management experience from both an insurer and employer perspectives. Both can be very similar and at the same time very different. As far as similarity goes, you know, as a DM professional, you're really just trying to facilitate a safe and early return to work for an employee or claimant from the onset of their disability. And the sooner you can get the person back to work, back to the workforce, as soon as they're medically able, the better return to work outcome they will have. However, when you're working for an employer, the world of disability is never black and white. There are a lot of barriers you have to consider and try to remove, things like workplace issues, labor law, that you're no longer simply looking at just medical conditions. And just because somebody has been cleared by their doctor or attending physician to return to work, or they have recovered, as per their, you know, normal convalescence period, it's not that straightforward to just return them to work. And you cannot ignore those non-medical issues as an employer rep. So it takes a lot of negotiation, creative and strategic thinking to develop a successful return to work plan for some of these folks. And in that process, you would need to provide a lot of education and training to a number of different stakeholders. If you ask me if I like working for an employer better or for an insurer better or insurance better, I'll have to say I enjoy working for an employer a lot better, for reasons that I've just, talked about, you know, around, you know, the creative thinking and, education and training, things like that. With my current role, I, get to do a little bit of everything ranging from simple and complex return to work planning, temporary and permanent accommodations for employees with chronic health conditions or who have plateaued in their recovery. And I get to do vocational rehab as well. So I manage a case from beginning to an end. I would actually find it challenging to transition a case to somebody else and or take over a case that has been worked on by somebody else for a period of time. And just because a lot of the details about a case quite oftentimes get lost when transitioning off to different people. And employees quite often get very frustrated and confused in the disability process when there are too many cooks in the kitchen. Or they have to basically tell their story over and over and again to different people. With my current role, I also do a lot of education and training to managers and supervisors, and quite oftentimes it will require me to step outside of my comfort zone, and facilitate training sessions to, small to large groups of managers. So very good experience and, skills to have, for my resume. That's for sure. And some final thoughts, as a DCMA, or a disability management professional, it's a very rewarding career. However, it can be very draining, you know, emotionally and mentally. You're working with some very ill people at times, with severe mental health conditions, and even with people who may, you know, threaten to harm themselves. So it's important to listen with empathy when you're having those difficult conversations with these folks, and not to be judgmental or come to any conclusions too quickly with how you're handling each case. Have an open mind and understand all the facts and helping you making good decisions. And in general, some advice, you know, have a good life balance and not to think about work when you go home after finishing work. Like I said, the role, a disability management professional can be a very emotional and draining work. Being resilient is the key to success to becoming a DM professional. So that's all I have.
Thanks very much, Vicky. You certainly brought home the transferable skill aspect, as well as certainly the building complexity over time and looking after oneself within all of that. So thank you. You've had a very interesting journey. Okay. Our next speaker is Liz Ilchasen. Liz works the BC Nurses Union. She is an EDMP case management advisor, and she's also involved a lot in duty to accommodate and labor relations. So these days that must be quite a challenging dynamic place to be. So interesting to hear what your day's like right now, Liz.
Can you hear me? Jenny, can you nod if you can hear me? Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for inviting me to speak. It is an honor to do so. And thank you especially to the last two speakers who were so descriptive about their jobs. And I certainly hope to provide some more information to you on this. I've been working for the BCNU since 2015 as a labor relations officer and specializing in duty to accommodate services for our members who require an accommodation in the workplace. Prior to that, I worked as a registered nurse for many years in various fields, and also after coming to Canada, I became quite a union activist. I was at the bargaining table when the Enhanced Disability Management Program was bargained between the employer and BCNU. And it was with great delight that we took that on in order to provide greater support to our members who required support in the workplace for disabilities, return to work management, etc. I think that's what got me interested in disability management. And as a nurse, I worked with a lot of colleagues who were struggled in the workplace with injuries and also chronic physical and mental conditions, and were not very well supported by the employer because it was a small outfit that I worked for. I took a short course at PCU in the summer once, and I was truly hooked on disability management after that, and sought out further education so that I could actually work in the field. It was sort of my next career goal. I did, this is prior to the bachelor's degree, and I did the 20 modules for the provided by PCU in disability management. That was a challenge when you're working full time. You're trying to get your education in as well, but the end comes along. And then I was really interested in getting the disability management designation. However, I had no work experience, only the education in disability management. As luck would have it, a position became available within the BCNU, and it was temporary. And I thought, I'll give it a shot and we'll see how it goes. Can I put my knowledge into action? And so they gave me the job, which I believe really was based on the fact that I had done the education and was job ready, as they saw it. So started out working with members who required an accommodation. I was very lucky in that I worked with EDMP representatives, and that's Enhanced Disability Management Program representatives, who were themselves nurses and members of the union. And these nurses have jobs through the collective agreement, and they provide support to members returning to work in the workplace, providing information to them on insurers, if it's a WorkSafe, if it's Canada Life claim, If the person has no sick time or income, where can they go to get help and assistance on this? They also work very closely with the employer representatives on interpreting the medical that comes in and determining, not interpreting, but reviewing the medical and determining limitations and restrictions, which lead then to my involvement for the accommodations in the workplace. If there is an issue with return to work, I am also brought in for discussions with the employer on that. It was a very steep learning curve to start, but I was lucky that there were other professionals working in the same, doing accommodations in the workplace with different health authorities. So I was able to gain support from my colleagues and increase my ability to do the job really well. It was certainly an eye-opener to be back in the workplace in healthcare with nurses who, to see what was available to them, to see that these were folks who really wanted to work and who, under the law, were the employer was required to support them. It was certainly interesting that the collective agreement was something that I got to sort of work with as well and review in case that put any barriers in getting our members back to work, and working with the employer to discuss, have many discussions and write up memoranda around accommodations there. One of the things that I learned fairly early in this job was about the sustainability of accommodations. When you're looking at getting somebody back into the workplace, you know, there's an urgency to have them back in, to have them doing the work, to get everything streamlined and going. The insurers feel, you know, we've got a finite time for this claim, you know, work safe. Also, you know, there's timelines for them as well. And we don't want to see, the ill or injured person, without income. About the work that's available, you know, if the work is not available or there isn't a vacancy for the person to go into, this can cause a delay in the process. And sometimes in order to keep the person financially sound, you're looking at getting them back in sooner rather than later, and perhaps could be put into a position which is not sustainable, even though on paper it looks like it is a good match for their limits and restrictions. If the job is not sustainable, we end up 2 or 3 months later back at the table to further discuss and further look for another accommodation. So sometimes it's a balance between the right job at the right time and moving things forward like that. But that takes a little bit of skill and experience as you go along, because you used to think that, well, if we've got a job, put them in it, let's go, this is it. In actual fact, that's not always the best way to go. But it takes a lot of discussion between the healthcare people, between the employer, between the employee and the union, in order to ensure that all parties are on the same wavelength when it comes to what we're trying to achieve and the best way to achieve it for a sustainable outcome. So,
there's some time there, Liz.
One of the things that was brought up earlier is around the current challenges that we face. And the biggest challenge that I face at the moment is workload. Since the experience with COVID, we have had a lot of requests for accommodations in the workplace, and a lot of the processes around return to work and accommodations had to be adjusted in order to be able to manage the volume of requests that came in. It has slowed down somewhat, but of course we don't know what it's going to be like when we expect a resurgence with COVID. We will just have to take each day as it comes, because otherwise you cannot predict or forecast, and I report my workload to my supervisor so that they're aware how much there is out there. When I say that, I have to tell you, the students that are online, that I believe this area of career development is growing exponentially everywhere. We see posts come through from CDMP, Joyce Gravel. She sends them out. I know that Joyce is retiring. Right across the country. And there are quite many and varied in different organizations, some big organizations, some smaller ones, looking for individuals to work in disability management and that have the CDMP designation. So, you know, there is work out there. It really is. Will you find it to be for you, you know, sustainable position as you move forward? I have worked with folks on the employer side who have moved to work with us in the union, and indeed some of my colleagues have moved to work on the employer side. This is a very transferable type of designation to have. And as you build your experience, you will also build your ability to move to move in your career to where you may want to move up the ladder or lateral moves.
I think we're just running out of time.
I'm not sure how much time I've left. I have a whole lot more to say, but I'm not sure where the time is going. How long do I have, Jenny?
You just said time now.
Yeah, you're just right on time.
Just good.
Sorry. One of the things of being having been in the workplace for so long is that I am a little technically challenged. So for some reason I can't hear Jenny, but that's okay. I'm sure you'll cut me off when it's time.
Okay. I think you did just a perfect amount of information for people to grasp. So thank you.
Okay.
We'll talk more as a group once we have a chance to hear Jenny. So Jenny Ridler, she is the coordinator of membership services at the Canadian Society of Professionals in Disability Management, or CSPDM, as you know. She's fairly recent to her position, but already, you know, the little I've got to work with her so far, extremely dynamic and very intense about this role, and so we're feeling really lucky to have her. She has started due to the recent retirement of Sheena Cook. So welcome, Jenny, and look forward to your thoughts.
Thank you. As you just heard, I'm joining the call today to represent the CSPDM, which is the Canadian Society of Professionals in Disability Management. And I'm going to try and share a little bit of an overview of the wide variety of job titles that we see across our membership, as well as the many different industries and employers that are hiring professionals in the field. So my hope is that this information will be of use to those of you who are perhaps starting a career in disability management, or somebody who might have shifted direction to specialize in this field, you know, or anyone who's really needing a bit of support now with how and where to find good job opportunities. So who is hiring disability management professionals? Well, the answer to that is almost any industry you can think of, and in towns and provinces all across Canada. So we have CSPDM members who are working across all different government agencies, municipalities, workers' compensation, public and private insurers, manufacturing, resource extraction, transportation, education, healthcare, you know, everything you can think of, from smaller private businesses all the way up to the huge household name type organizations. In some cases, VCR members are working exclusively on disability management, and that's the sole focus of their roles. But in other jobs, they may well have a broader portfolio. They may have other responsibilities such as, you know, HR administration or health and safety or wellness roles that are then bundled together with DM into more of a blended position. So in terms of how you start to try and find job opportunities in this line of work, I wanted to try and give some examples of the very varied job titles that we see across our membership. Many of our members have a sort of traditional title of disability manager or disability coordinator, but we also see abilities manager or abilities partner. And although those titles might sound polar opposites, the actual work involved is very, very similar. We also see many positions with more generic titles, such as an HR coordinator or perhaps a health, safety, wellness manager. And although the title doesn't necessarily speak to disability management, the roles and responsibilities can include a big focus on that too. And then other, you know, common titles that we see are things like well-being consultant or coordinator, rehabilitation, return to work specialist, client partners, absence management specialists. So when you're searching for an open opportunity in your area, you'll uncover many, many more opportunities if you try and search based on keywords as opposed to just on job titles. You know, without having that sort of standardization across the industry in terms of what the role will be called, you know, you'll have to get a little bit more creative with your searching. We do also have a job posting section on the CSPDM website. So employers who are specifically looking for someone with either their CDMP or their CRTWC designation, they'll contact us to promote their vacancies on the members only section of our website. And it is worth noting that in addition to offering memberships to those who've already successfully achieved those designations, we also do offer student memberships to those people enrolled in the university that are working towards a career in that field. So those job postings, you know, could still be available to you even if you haven't yet achieved those designations. And so certainly reach out to us if you're interested in a student membership. In terms of other just sort of general tips in terms of searching for work in this day and age, you know, you certainly should update your LinkedIn profiles to indicate that you're open to new job opportunities. That does allow recruiters to know that they can contact you if you've got the skills or the education that they're looking for. And, you know, this year we certainly are seeing that there are many job seekers having to adjust to a different reality. This is true across all industries and professions, not obviously unique to our field. It can seem daunting, certainly, but there are many, many businesses still adding roles and investing in DM positions. So as Liz was just saying about, you know, the potential growth in the future for this field, that seems to be the case, and nothing in that regard seems to be slowing down because of COVID. I did a search this morning on Indeed.ca, just with simple keywords of disability management, and nationwide across Canada, there was well over 500 job postings that are active today. So that does just show that there is, you know, plenty of potential out there for a career in this field. And finally, just as a word of reassurance, we've heard some of our previous speakers sort of already refer to this, but job postings will typically describe the employer's ideal candidate, but that doesn't mean everything that they list in their job posting is non-negotiable. So if you haven't yet achieved a designation or completed the education that's listed as required for a role, but maybe you're actively working towards it, you should still apply anyway, and, you know, explain that in your cover letter. Or perhaps they want work experience in the field, but you don't have any yet. Again, outline the transferable skills and experience that you might have from a previous role, highlight how that demonstrates your suitability for the position. And, you know, don't be hesitant to put your name in the hat just because you don't meet all of those criteria. And in the meantime, I think please do keep investing in yourself, staying current on the topics that are top of mind for disability management professionals. We wanted to just let you know about one upcoming opportunity. We are about to be hosting the International Forum on Disability Management. It's a biannual conference. This year, of course, it's been reimagined, and so it's going to be a 2-hour special online event, so a virtual conference. Perhaps not surprisingly, the focus this year is on COVID-19 and its impacts on employers, but that is an opportunity for you all. You're welcome and encouraged to sign up. It's absolutely free of charge. It's 2 hours and it's coming up on Monday, November the 9th. So it's a great opportunity for DM professionals at any stage in their career, and sort of keeping up to date on your own professional development and continue to invest in yourself while you're waiting for that right job opportunity will just keep you engaged. So I think that's all that I have time for in terms of this session, but I did want to just finish up by saying I'm always happy to offer support and answer questions from any of you, whether you're CSPDM members or whether you're considering becoming a member. So please don't hesitate to reach out if there's anything else that I can do to support you, you know, after today's call in terms of helping you with your career search. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. I'm glad you brought up the online sort of a mini conference coming up around COVID-19 on November 9th, because I think just to add to what you're saying, you know, to stay current, but it also shows that if an individual is working towards a job search coming up, you know, these things all help to say, I attended this, I learned that, I'm trying to stay as current as I can in these times of uncertainty, that These are things that all add up to a candidate who is engaged and is doing the best that they can. So I know quite a few of the speakers, I'll just move to some of the questions now. Quite a few of you mentioned the broad spectrum of opportunities, but one individual just wondered specifically where to start for entry-level job to gain experience. I know Jenny mentioned several, and Liz mentioned, you know, just getting a start. I think that was a commonality with Vicky as well, like getting, quote-unquote, foot in the door. So just thinking about the context today and the uncertainties today, do you have any suggestions of areas for that early start? This is out to the panel. This is for everybody.
It's Erica. I can certainly say that, you know, in terms of insurance companies, again, some of the other job titles you might look at, case manager, rehab consultant, return to work specialist, but even, you know, yeah, certainly within my organization, people may start even as a customer service rep. And then, you know, once you're in, it's easier to start applying to other jobs and find out more about some of the different kinds of jobs that people do.
It's one of those things sometimes you have to get so far before you see what's next or what's possible too.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the challenges for students with the Bachelor of Disability Management program is that because of COVID-19, they haven't been able to have the option of the practicum, as there are two options within their capstone. One is the practicum and one is a research project. So they're feeling concerned that employers will feel that they're maybe not as employable because they haven't had direct experience. And I think all of you have mentioned ways to get started, but I'm just wondering if there's any ways you would answer that question if an employer was concerned. I guess like Liz has an answer there.
Well, that is, of course, a concern to people when they don't have the practicum, but you've got to remember, I think it was as Jenny said, you bring all your life experience and your previous work experience to this type of position, because you're working with so many different individuals and you will have had contact, I'm sure, with, you know, people who have been had problems outside of the workplace before. So draw on that experience, draw on it and make sure that it's on your resume and that you make it quite clear that your ability to work in situations like that is a big factor in how you can benefit the people that you're applying to the position for. The other thing I want to mention is, just in case you think the BCNU only hires nurses into positions like this, in actual fact, we do hire non-nurses into as labor relations officers, health and safety people, that doing research, etc., as well in policy. So, you know, anybody who's got a designation who may wish to look at some sort of work in that area, you know, will give it a try, give it a whirl. You know, I do believe they have a website where they post the positions that are open.
Anyone else on that want to weigh in on the lack of practicum this year?
I did just have one thought to add. Oh,
sorry. Go ahead, Jenny.
Thank you. I did just have one thought to add, which was that, you know, perhaps in another year, it might have been harder to explain to a potential employer about, you know, why you hadn't been able to complete a practicum. I do think, you know, the challenges that are in front of us this year are so well understood globally that, you know, if you'll find, I would imagine that it's a little bit easier to explain, you know, why that hadn't been possible, this time around. And then, you know, exactly as, you know, all of the other advice that we just heard about drawing on other experiences and, you know, just sort of continuing to put yourself out there and don't feel like that's going to have to hold you back.
And Vicky.
Oh yeah. I was just going to, add a comment around, you know, the field is so, in such a high demand that they're always looking for DM professionals. So even with COVID, you know, with where I work, I've seen, you know, we're constantly looking for candidates. And so, you know, obviously they have to work around the logistics of, you know, letting people work from home, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, the professional is in such a high demand that there's always a need for professionals like us. That's so when I'm, like I said at the beginning, that, you know, I didn't have a practicum or I didn't go to complete a DM Bachelor of DM program, right? So it was all, you know, my transferable skills that had helped me get my foot in the door. So don't be discouraged if you don't have, you know, 5 years of experience that an employee is looking for. As long as you can sell yourself at interviews and kind of highlight your transferable skills, you will have a chance of success in getting these jobs.
That's good. One of the questions we had was, is a master's degree helpful to employment in DM? And doesn't say what kind of master's, but I know looking at different job sites, it does come up for certain roles. And it's just interesting to me now with a bachelor's in disability management, like your whole degree about disability management, that's a whole other aspect to add to this credentials and the, you know, that with the CDMP, that's quite a solid credential. So looking at the ads, you see quite a variance of expectations. And I know just going with what our panelists are saying, just to try, present yourself well, bring in all your background when you're applying for something. But that actual master's piece, just wondered if anyone on the panel had any comment on that.
I worked with a fellow at Manulife who had a master's in disability management. He came in as a case manager, and the thing that I would observe is he probably moved into a supervisory role perhaps more quickly than some other folks. But to get started in the field, he didn't. I wouldn't say he needed the master's, but
not to get started. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm seeing. Okay. This one can be for Jenny. Someone asked, what is the main difference in having the CDMP or CRTWC designation in terms of jobs, daily duties, focuses, and exam prep? I am debating between which one of the two to pursue, so looking for clarification.
Great. Yeah, thank you for that question. Well, both the CRTWC and the CDMP examinations are built around the same main heading domain areas. The difference lies in the application of the knowledge. So you can, of course, review the examination prep guide, which is on our website, if you want to sort of fully familiarize yourself with the differences between the two. But the short answer for right now is that the CRTWC is more focused on creating return to work plans for individuals. So it's more of the sort of frontline support for those who are dealing with illness and injury. Whereas the CDMP focuses more at the macro level on sort of the creation, administration, and ongoing evaluation of an overall disability management program. So, you know, although the sort of course headings look similar, it's the application and the specifics there at the examination that would make the difference. And so what we see is that in larger companies, it's perhaps more likely that there would be, you know, different groups of individuals with those different sets of responsibilities. Whereas in a smaller business or a more medium-sized company, it could often be the one individual wearing both hats. So the same person that's dealing with those return to work plans for the individuals might also have ownership of, you know, the entire program. And so in those cases, folks do tend to lean a little bit more towards the CDMP, so that they know that best practice for the overall program design and administration. So I hope that answers it enough for, you know, for today's purpose in terms of kind of the brief answer. And again, if anyone, you know, wanted to speak to me more specifically about their, you know, their own interests and which examination they might want to steer towards, then I'd be happy to take that offline.
Thank you. I think that's perhaps a theme of our session to help tweak the interest and know some of the resources that are out there, and just if we can help here at the university, as you have more questions, just to help direct you to the place of the person who would have the expertise in that area. So I know a question came up, but Jennifer answered it for the individual. They were just looking for information on it looks like CDMP study assistance, so she has answered that on the chat. And we're sort of coming up to being out of time, and I just wanted to say we certainly answered a lot of questions. A lot of questions were answered within the speaker's reports. There was a commonality, it seemed, of how to stay positive, the power of small steps, the power of having a vision and getting your foot in the door and getting started and doing a good job once you're there, bringing in the skills that you are amassing that will help sustain you through that time. We heard a lot about multi-stakeholders and being the center of a lot of collaborations, how that being positive and how that also being a potentially stressful place to be at times, to be in the middle of it all. I think we know that, and we're starting to address that in our case management course certainly as well too. But I think just being aware of the skill set required and building all the time. I often say, like, when I'm trying to make a new plan is just to kind of know what's interesting and then to steer myself toward that, just take in any talk I can, you know, talk to a person who's interested in that, watch for things in the media and just try and learn about that general direction, and that direction then tends to become more clear. So I think the speakers today have provided that kind of
of background on their journeys, that they didn't maybe start out knowing exactly where it was going. I don't think any of them did. They just built with what interested them and worked for them and was meaningful to them over time. So I think the speakers have provided us with a lot of good information and resources. And I just want to remind you that you can send in your questions, and we'll step back and have a look at the overall questions and things that can be put out to the group that are of interest to the group. We will do so. And just want to thank our speakers, Erica and Liz and Vicky and Jenny, for taking the time to compile your the background information and to speak to not only your roles, but what your roles are like these days within the extra challenges that we're facing in the workplace and society. And I just want to say thanks to the students who came and joined us as well. Really appreciate your involvement. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye now.